come to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 877-711-5611. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
All right. Good morning, Chicago. Whoa, that is hot. There we go. A little better. I'm Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is on the air. This is where we discuss all your home improvement issues, from foundation leaks to roof repairs. Do you have a problem with your house and don't know what to do? You can give us a call, 877-711-5611. Maybe you need to know how to install a tile floor, repair a plumbing problem, replace a switch or an outlet. You can give us a call, 877-711-5611. We've got open phones right now, so get your questions in. In the first hour, we'll have the Mighty House Tip of the Week with Rich Cowgill. Second hour, we've got a Clutter Clarity segment. We're not quite sure who's going to do that. I don't know if we're going to have Sonar do that.
Should I start preparing now?
Maybe.
Yeah.
We could do something. Shay.
At the next break, I can go ask the boss if she wants to step in and do one. But
yeah.
There you go.
I already know the answer might be.
Yeah. You got too much stuff. Throw it out.
Right. Done. Okay, next. But Shay Lewis from Mission to Organize. On the Twitter last night, we were going back and forth, so she might actually just stop in around 9 o'clock.
Oh, I hope so. I like when Shay's in here.
Yeah. So we'll get her in, hopefully, and maybe she can do the Clutter Clarity segment for Robbie then instead. But, you know, we're playing it by ear. Everybody was bailing on me this week.
Why is that?
I don't know. There's too many graduations.
I think because it's summer and graduation parties and stuff. Yeah, it's...
Yeah. There's graduations, weddings. I mean, it's just on and on and on.
It's like they knew it was going to rain or something. They didn't want to come.
Exactly. I think that's exactly it. And of course, you can join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. We also have Mr. Floor up there on the Facebook Live, so you'll be able to check them out at mrfloor.com. Fast Signs of Lincolnwood is 80 at fastsigns.com. And our buddies over at AWM Construction, awmroofing.com. So we've got all those people up on Facebook Live, and we appreciate their support. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at MightyHouse.net and on our Mighty House YouTube channel. And you can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call on the Mr. Floor helpline, that's 877-711-5611, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. Come on, Robbie.
I'm sorry. I need a few more sips of this coffee, then I'll be Robbie status.
Come on, let's go.
I showed up on time, and it slowed me down.
You were way too early. Yeah,
exactly. Throws your timing way off.
So,
and I made the mistake of having one cup of coffee this morning.
Uh-oh.
Like, oh, man.
Freaked out.
Rich is going to be wound up now.
Exactly. And people can see on Facebook you have a new background.
Yes.
Yes. It's well, the next step is to see if I can't change it.
There you go.
So
we need a color other than white
locations.
Well, I think,
well, you know what? It's an old projection screen that I get used when I was a trainer for the EPA. So I would go to different places and I'd use the projector. So this would always go in the front of the classroom. Right. So I don't need it anymore. So I have absolutely no reservations about spraying it green.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. You get a nice neon green right there.
Spray it green and see if we can't do the whole green screen thing.
Yeah, we can put you anywhere you want to.
I think what we need to do, though, is we could have a contest every week, And if anybody guesses, just guess where Rich is at. You know, so if you can guess where Rich is at, you would win a you know, the tape bubbler measure deal.
It's like
got
a flat Stanley or something.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, where's Rich this week? And you could just, you know, you could just plug in the Antarctic or, you know, anywhere, all
exactly
over the place. You know, any city.
Well, that's where I'm at now. That's why it's white.
Yeah, there you go. You're in a snowstorm in the Antarctic right now, right?
There you go.
See?
That's right.
It happens. So that's cool. But now you don't have to make the bed and stuff in that bedroom, and you could just leave it a mess now. Nobody knows.
Well, actually, I mean, us people that watch all the time would already know that, but yeah, anybody that's watching for the first time would not know that I'm not in a studio with you guys or something like that. You
right.
Know, so.
Yep. No, it looks good.
Well, next week...
Which is impression.
Yeah. Next week we won't be able to see you because we'll actually be over at the Custer Fair.
Oh, we'll see him.
Oh yeah, we will. Yeah.
Well, he'll set up a. Yeah.
But everybody else it'll will just fun see us over there.
Right.
But no, it'll be great. But I mean, now you actually get to see in person because the Custer Fair will be our studio.
Okay.
So everybody will be in studio. We'll just be able to just pull them off the street.
Yes.
Like, hey, you look like you wear a tool belt. Eventually, come over here.
Yeah. So that Custer Fair.
Well, that's always the fun part about doing.
Go ahead. I was going to say the Custer Fair. It's a Custer Street
Fair
in Evanston.
We do the live remotes and we always have this.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is there that much of a delay?
No,
a
little bit. We used to do live remotes. It was always funny. People. There must be too much delay. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So people would always walk up and start asking you questions, and you're standing there with a microphone in your hand doing the show.
Yeah.
And it was always funny because they like, didn't even realize you're on the radio.
Right. They just come up and start talking.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why you need a big speaker. I'm going to try to take a big speaker with us because we're going to rival the stage.
Oh,
do a
okay
stage on one end of the street, and then right we're going to be on the other.
Okay.
And I want the people on stage to hear our lyrics.
There you go. That's perfect. Perfect. It's the 47th annual Custer Street Fair in Evanston. It's got all your favorite weekend shows from WCGO. We'll be broadcasting live, and we'll be on Facebook. And that is June 16th and 17th. Gates open at 10 a.m. And if somebody wants to sneak in and see us, though, I'm sure they can do that.
Oh, right? Yeah. We're going to be broadcasting this show live, so we're going to be one of the first people that get out there. I think it'll be just opening up as we're kind of getting done. But it's going to be great. $5 suggested donation at the gate.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, that's a suggested donation. You can always give more. Because it's a great cause. It supports the Custer Fair. It supports theaters here in Chicago, or here in Evanston.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a great time. What I like about it is it's not one of those just art fairs.
Right.
It's not just, hey, look at the stuff that I made. Here, try to buy it. It's a couple different clubs and vendors and beer and music.
And you know there's going to be a chiropractor there.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
You know there's going to be
those two empty chairs that no one really.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll be the chiropractors are there too. There's over 30 food vendors.
Is there a car show?
Any car show?
Car show? No. There is a parking lot real close. So, I mean, if you want to look at a couple people's, like.
Yeah. We could bring I'll ride my motorcycle up there. You can come look at the motorcycle.
There you go. Yeah. Come see Ron's motorcycle.
There you go.
Yes.
And the live broadcast will be brought to you in part by Fast Signs of Lincolnwood, Firehouse Grill, which is an excellent place to go get some dinner, Sketchbook Brewery, Cinemark Century 12 Movie Theater, and that's in Evanston, and the First Northern Credit Union. So we got free stuff to give away too, right?
Pretty much from all of those people.
Right.
We've got a great prize wheel. Everybody's just going to be spinning it. And I think we've got car wash tickets and gift cards to the firehouse and to Sketchbook itself, and we're right outside the door of Sketchbook.
Okay.
Essentially, you take three steps out of the door of Sketchbook, and you'll be in our tent.
Okay.
And then we'll kick you out because
so
you're
we'll
in
be
our
blasted
tent
by 10 a.m. is what you're
See,
saying.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing I can't make it there because it also means that if there's three steps back, I'm in Sketchbook.
Right. That's exactly it.
Be right back, guys. How long's this break? I'll be right back.
Exactly. Whoop, just
it's 7 in the morning. It's
it's 5 o'clock somewhere,
well,
right?
Exactly.
Well, yeah, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
You like that, Randall? See, Randall drew short straw today, so he's on the board if you don't know, haven't heard that yet. So it's all right, Randall. 60 seconds? All right, good. So, cool. So the Custer Fair is coming up. We'll be there out there next weekend. Robbie will be back, and we'll have all that going on. So it should be a great time. Stop out there. See us.
Absolutely. Come out and see us. Spin the wheel. Get heckled a little bit. I mean, that's why you do live remotes. We can people know they're being heckled on live air.
Right.
So, look at this guy's t-shirt. That's crazy.
So, Ron, you'll have to definitely set up your tablet or laptop so that I have some view.
Oh, yeah. It'd
be pretty bizarre just talking to a box.
Yeah, exactly. I will. I'll have the tablet set up. I'll get that big arm thing I've got, too, to clamp it in. So
there you go. We'll
clamp it to the table.
You got your fancy light, too?
Yeah.
You use that thing yet?
Yeah. Good deal. Oh, yeah. This thing rocks, man. All right, we'll be back right after this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
You see this hammer in my hand?
Yeah, I'm going to find that sad finder. What does it look like?
And a level.
What is a level?
Don't you know what a level is?
Yeah, it's something you advance to in a video game.
It's Mighty House. Call Mighty House now at 847-475-1590.
We still need to have Mike fix that.
This is Mighty House.
Next time, just plot it down, and I'll voice over.
Oh, there we go. There we go. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and preview shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you can give us a call on the Mr. Floor helpline. It's 877-711-5611. You'll have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. All right, and it's been raining. I was actually having to divert my normal path to the station this morning.
Really?
Because of flooded streets.
Okay. Well, you didn't ride the bike in.
Well,
you
know,
it's at least that.
No, I was
going to say, you don't like the motorcycle doesn't like deep water?
No, not deep water. Although I have ridden it through some, you know, 5-6 inches of water. I've done that. But the truck, I wasn't about to go down into some of those. So I actually had to like I said, you know, alter my normal route because of flooded streets. Yes.
Man.
So. Something to be careful of if you're getting out there going to drive, make sure you take off a little early. But the other side of that is, you know, you might want to go down and check your basement.
Yeah.
Is the sump pump working? Is your battery backup system kicking in? So
when was the last time you checked it?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, we've had some rains, but haven't had any good rains in a while. So if you've got that much water in the area, you might want to go check your basement out.
But you always see people that have just like their whole front yards or their backyards just turn into essentially a lake.
Yep.
Does that affect your basement in any kind of fashion because you got all that standing water on your yard?
It can. And I think a lot of it's because of the clay around here. You're okay. You know, it doesn't soak down in there too bad. But you'll still see. Like the house is has a moat all the way around it, you know, and then the sump pump's just kicking more water out, and dumping it into that. So
that's how we filter it.
there you go.
Goes back down through the clay. It's like natural spring water.
Yes, but after the third time through, it's really good stuff.
Oh, there you go. Okay,
so, you know, it's drinkable.
But one of the other things I always tell people too is, I mean, I know it's public works, you know, job,
right?
But go give them a hand. Go make sure that the grate in your street, that the storm sewer grate's not covered with debris.
Yep.
Because the house you save might be your own, right?
I mean, exactly.
It doesn't take much to make sure that grate's clean so that water can go down.
Right.
So.
Right. And you know, the sump pumps, you can use any one that you know want to pick up. But if you go to the plumbing supply house, Zoeller makes a great pump. So it's cast iron. It's going to last a really long time. If there is generally a problem with them, it's usually just the switch, which you can just buy the switch and replace it and fire it right back up again. So
is that the floating switch? That's the one you're talking about replacing?
I like the lever ones.
Yes, I do too.
Are on the pump. The floating ones tend to circulate around sometimes, and they can get caught up against something. and then they don't float up.
Right.
Okay, so you're saying the ones with the chains.
You know, if it's not centered properly. Yeah, okay. I mean, I've had issues where they've done that. And
yeah, the ones with the floaty that just like on a cord.
Mm-hmm.
But usually the pit is a corrugated plastic or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that pump is just float, that switch is just floating around, and it'll get caught on stuff, and then it won't ever turn on. So,
but you can get a float with a lever, right?
Correct. So those are also more compact. Those are going to fit in a tighter pit. And then that way, that ball comes up, hits the switch, and fires it off, and it's less chance of it getting caught on something. So I refuse to buy those at where the float's just loose on a cord.
Well, yeah, and we've all had those chains, those toilet chains that just break on you as soon as you look at it.
Right. Right. Oh. Yep. So
something else to talk about, though, is you know, unfortunately, when you go out to buy a sump pump, you know, they're always different prices because they're quarter horse, third horse, half horse.
Yep.
And, you know, you've got to really look at those because it'll show how many gallons per minute it'll pump. But not just that, it decreases drastically depending on the distance vertically you have to pump. Mm-hmm. So if you have a 9-foot basement and you've got this going up through the rim joist, you're literally pumping water vertically 11 feet, which can decrease the capacity of that sump pump by as much as 40%. So you definitely need to buck up and buy the half horse, or else it may not keep up in a heavy rain.
Right.
And it amazes me how many people don't get that.
They just buy the cheapest one. Yeah. Like, well, here's one for $50. I'll do that one.
Yeah, because you need a sump pump. I was like, I need this thing, so I should probably get the cheapest one. Should at least fulfill my need, but then you're gonna overwork that.
Right. You got something there, Randall?
I do. You know, don't feel bad if you do, because I've known unnamed municipalities that have gotten the wrong pump. I used to work sewer maintenance and repair. I've seen what some of these people are running. You just look at it and go,
municipality's doing that.
Yeah, you look at it and I'm like, you need like 100 more horsepower over there. Yeah. What are you doing?
It moves water, but it doesn't move enough water. So, you know, and it'll say that, you know, when you look on the box, it'll say it moves, you know, 500 gallons a minute.
Mm-hmm.
At zero lift.
Exactly, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So what is that lift? Is it 8 feet, 9 feet, 11 feet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going down in the pit 2 or 3 feet, plus then you've got 8 feet. So, you know, you've got quite a bit to lift up.
If I've got to push it 11 feet, how much do I need? How many horses do I need?
Well, I think half horse is the largest you're going to buy in any store, which is typically more than adequate for 11 or 12 feet.
Right.
But the less pipe you have, the better. But the other problem is the quarter horse, third horse, those are all going to be inch and a half pipe, where your half horse is almost always 2-inch.
Yep.
So now you're talking about sheer volume.
Yeah.
I mean, I can obviously fit more water through a 2-inch pipe than an inch and a half inch.
Right. Pipe. And there's nothing worse than finding a 2-inch pump that's reduced down to inch and a half or inch and a quarter.
Oh, jeez.
You take them out of the pit and you're wondering why it burnt up. Well, that's because, you know, it couldn't move enough water to keep itself cool.
Well, if you made a larger pipe on the end of it, so you said it's a 2-inch pump when it comes out. If you made that a 3-inch pump and then added a, I don't know, maybe another inch coming off of it for like an induction or anything like that, could you use that extra little bit of horsepower to suck up more water even though it's not running through the pump?
Yeah.
You almost make it like an eductor?
Yeah,
and it's not common practice, but there's no reason you can't step up to a emaciating pump or what you'd use for a sewage pump, because those will typically, you can get them up to like a 3-inch discharge.
Yeah.
So if you have a large basement or something where you're in a particularly wet location, there's no reason you can't use, you know, one of those.
Because once it's out of the sump, it's just regular water in a pipe, right? And then you can move it however you would run anything else.
Right. Right.
Right.
So the other complaint we get a lot is when we put those bigger pumps in, now you're moving large volumes of water. Mm-hmm. And then when that check valve, which doesn't allow all that water to run back down into the pit. So you've got a check valve in there that opens up when it's pumping and then it closes right away. Well, when that closes, if you've got 8 feet of water on top of it, that's 2 inches.
You just locked it.
What happens is that pump, that door comes down and goes boom, and then it makes a loud banging sound and the pipes in the house.
You get a water hammer at that point. Okay.
So they do make a soft close check valve now that you can use, so it closes softer.
Okay.
You can also mount those on a 45-degree angle. So if the check valve, we come up, go off at a 45-degree angle, hit your check valve, and then go vertical again, that will help slow that down a little bit too.
Okay.
So that it doesn't
I like
slam.
The banging.
Yeah, I do too.
That way, when you're sitting upstairs, you're like, oh, sump pump's working.
Yeah.
What's that? Just to know. Just to,
yep.
So since we're talking sump pump sizes, at what size that I get a sump pump that I need to go, okay, why is my basement leaking this much to begin with? What,
right.
What's the ratio for that to be like, do I need like an eight, after I get to an 8 horsepower sump pump, do I need to start looking at, do I live in a puddle?
Right.
Like, at what point do I need to start looking more at my basement as opposed to my pump?
Well, I think, go ahead, Rich.
If everything is actually done correctly and you have proper drain tile around the footing with a sock on it in a bed of gravel, window well drains are done properly, the next thing truly to look at is the grade around your house and your downspouts. You know, a lot of people, unfortunately, don't have their downspouts with kickouts going at least 3 feet from their foundation.
Oh, exactly. Or if they have a kickout to begin with.
Right. So you're typically that, you know, in that case, you're just dumping the water right at the foundation. So that's not doing you any good.
Right. Right. So if you kick that out 4 or 5 feet away from the house, that'll slow it down and slow it down from coming back in the house.
Throw it in my front yard pond.
Exactly.
And get more water out there.
Exactly. So you've got that. The other side of this too is we've done a couple of homes where that's just where the water table is.
Really?
I've been in a house where it hadn't rained in weeks, and that sump pump's going on and off every 30 seconds.
Wow.
It was running, turning off, running, turning off. And we end up putting a second pit in there because in a heavy rain, it just that one pump couldn't handle it. So we had two pumps and two large pumps and then separate discharges. So that because a lot of people put two pumps in, but then they just dump it into one pipe. So you're kind of, you know.
When pipe is full, does not help.
Yeah, exactly.
You're still only moving that amount of water that will go through a 2-inch pipe. So if you have two separate ones, that way you can you can set them up differently, too, so that they're at different levels. So the one pump will run all the time, and if it's not keeping up, the second one will kick in and go.
Okay.
But she just had a natural spring under her house.
That's what it seems like. Yeah.
And that was, it was nice, clean, clear water too.
Why don't you run that into the water heater?
Exactly.
You'd be done with it.
Yeah.
That's right.
But what we did though, is we did take that and we dumped it out into a rain barrel. So she always kept the rain barrels full with the water from the sump pit. And, she went out, had the water tested and it was all good. So we used it as for her gardening and stuff too. So there's a lot of options you can do. What's that, Rich?
If you have the ability to get the water from the sump pump away from the house, I mean, it's technically illegal to push it towards your neighbors.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you can, during the dry season, actually dig a pipe in the ground, like a 4-inch PVC, and it can be perforated because you don't need it to hold water.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you can run that underground to a low spot in your yard further away from the basement. And then do not ever connect your sump pump outlet to that pipe. Leave what's called an air gap. So you might have a 2-inch pipe kicking down into that 4-inch pipe, but don't make a tight connection. That way in the fall or the winter, if you do fill up with ice, it overflows. It's not going to freeze up and keep that, you know, and back screw your pump up.
Yeah, exactly.
But the further you can get that water away from the house, the better.
The better. All right. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We'll get to the phones next. You are listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House will return.
Here I come to save the day.
Here they come to save the day.
This is Mighty House.
Join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and preview shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you, too, can give us a call on the Mr. Floor Helpline. It's 877-711-5611. You'll have your chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com.
.com.
Thanks, Rich. Robbie didn't do it. The fuzzy Robbie
I'm
didn't
sorry.
Do it.
Fuzzy
I
Robbie.
Fuzzy
Am I
Robbie.
Supposed to end all dot coms?
Yeah.
Oh. No, just the Mr. Floor.
I thought this was 2018, and we just knew stuff just ended in .com.
So what's your website?
Mightyhouse.com, right?
.net.
.net. I apologize.
We're net.
That's why I don't like when people say, you know, go to my website, www. Like, right, really? Yeah. You don't even type www anymore.
No.
Yeah. HTTP.
Yeah.
colon slash.
///
Yeah.
There we
W.
go.
W.
Uh-huh. Is that a backslash? That's a forward slash.
Okay, so we got a
I
new.
I always get those too.
We have a new name for Sonar today, and we're just we're calling him Fuzzy Robbie.
Fuzzy Robbie.
There we go. Okay, Randall, is that good? Since we got Randall on the board, and since Robbie wasn't here and Sonar was, we stuck him in the Robbie slot.
Frobby.
Yeah.
I think Frobby's the best bet.
Frobby. Okay, so it's Fuzzy Robbie is now Frobby. We're all right. Good. We're there. All right, let's go to the phones. You got that up already, Randall? All right. Hey, Will, you're on Mighty House.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
How you doing?
Great. Pump, yeah, I do
one of the great pains in the butt for all home inspectors out there, explaining them and everything. We see a ton of buildings along the lakeshore, you know, Lakeview and even Bucktown and stuff, where the new ones, they all have sumps, but the sumps never do anything. Because the drainage there with the sandy soil is good, and the water table's low. So people mm-hmm. got to realize that sump pumps don't necessarily take care of water that's coming down during a rain. They usually take care of water that's rising up from the water table.
Mm-hmm. That too.
And if your water table is low, you hardly ever get that thing to work. The other thing, too, is they're putting them all into sewers, and that's one of the reasons why in Chicago the sewers back up all the time. Chicago is now having guidelines. They want you to take it out to the yard as opposed to putting it into the sewer, and eventually that's going to be code. And it's, you know, the third thing is make sure you have a good backup. The little 12-volt battery backups, basement watchdogs, they don't really do much of anything. You know, when they go off, make sure you go out right in the middle of a rainstorm and go get a new pump.
Yeah.
I like to see a nice, you know, 120-volt backup with a Sumco UPS power supply as opposed to little you know, battery backups, the 12-volters. They don't last for anything, hardly.
Right. Well, they'll run usually we install a lot of the watchdogs, and we just put one battery on them, and they'll last 12 hours. But all it really is it's an emergency because it has the alarm. And what we tell our clients is, okay, if you hear this thing going off, give us a call because we got to get out there. And usually,
here's something key with those.
Yeah.
Most of the time when you see a watchdog, if it's failing, it's because the people have never installed it properly. A watchdog pump is supposed to be set so high that it will not even start pumping until the water is just below your slab or whatever, where you're about to have a problem. Too often I see them set just below the top of the sump pump, which is way too early. The ground can take a heck of a lot more water before you need that pump protecting you.
Right. And you can, so then you're using the drain tile as a storage area too.
Correct. Because it might just stop raining.
Yes.
Or the power might just come back on. But no, the 12 volt battery backups, those things have been so successful. And like you said, if you set them properly, they'll give you 10 hours. That's plenty.
Right.
After that, you're in trouble anyway.
Exactly. So, I don't think you can, like Will is saying, you cannot use that and rely on them to you through weeks and weeks.
No.
But it's an emergency alarm system, basically, for your sump pump is what it is.
Yeah, it's an alarm or a Band-Aid that helps you out for that little bit. Because you're going to replace both of them either way.
Right, right. And
absolutely.
And then
most of them now have Wi-Fi, you know, access and all that. So if it goes off, it'll send you a text to your phone that, you know, your emergency pump's going, which is great. If you're on vacation, you call neighbor, house watch, whatever.
Yep.
You know, and get it covered, so.
And, hey, Will, what's the other there's the other type that has, like, two car batteries in it. It's got an inverter, and then you put a 110-volt pump over it, and you stack it on top of the old one. But I run into those once in a while. And do you remember what those are called, what that system is called?
I don't know. I just know the Sumco. It's actually a 120-volt UPS.
Okay.
It's got an 8-hour rating.
Right.
It's expensive, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
There's actually companies out there that, you know, will hook it all up and it'll computer check itself and all this other stuff, but there's always an app for that and stuff. The other thing, too, is, you know, trying to explain the difference between a sump and an ejector. And, you know,
right.
That's for drain water, and that's for what we call poopy water. You
right.
know? And I love it when they get the condensate drain for their furnace and they put it into the ejector, you know.
Yep.
Not a good idea.
No, and that's not that type. That water is very acidic. You don't want to dump it in there like that. So you want it to get flushed out a lot more.
Fecal coliform.
Yeah.
Fecal coliform bacteria in there, which you don't want to mess with, you know.
Right, exactly.
Anyway.
Cool. Thank you, sir.
Oh, it's raining.
Yes, it's still raining.
Have a good one.
All right, later.
Bye. All right, so anybody that's watching on Facebook or listening elsewhere on Gab Radio or whatever, it's raining like hell in Chicago and there's some flooding, so thus the long sump pump talk.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that other system I think is about $3,500 for the two deep cycle batteries. It comes with a large case and it has the inverter in it. And so that will charge, that inverter then charges those two deep cell batteries. And then from those, they use a 24 volt system to invert back to 110 volts to run that backup system.
So it goes from battery to AC.
Yep.
Back to battery.
No, it goes AC to charge the batteries.
Yeah.
And then once the power goes out or that backup system fails, so then it uses those batteries to convert back to 110 AC and then runs that.
So essentially it's charging off of your house until the power goes out, then it discharges from there.
Right. And the advantage there is that now you're using a standard size 3/4 pump, and you're moving more. The volume of water you move is a lot more.
Does that last longer than the backups?
No.
The 12 hours or so?
No, it's still gonna last about the same amount of time. The difference is, if your house has a lot of water and you're constantly moving it, a watchdog's probably not going to keep up. So you know if we would go to that system after a watchdog system has not kept up.
Well, and a watchdog system like that is more of a, you already have a problem, now let's kick in, as opposed to the system you're talking about is, we've got a problem, let's do it immediately.
Right.
The problem is we don't have power, so therefore the pump doesn't work. We need a working pump. It just goes right. As opposed to the watchdog that's just like, if he doesn't do his job, I'm here.
Right. Right, exactly.
Well, there's nothing worse than when you go down, you know, into your basement and you go whack the pipe and then the pump comes on because the switch was stuck or something.
Yep.
But I mean, it happens a lot. You know, the switch just, maybe it's been dry for so long that it just needed a little grease or a little motivation.
Yep.
And then the third style pump we haven't talked about, it's the one that runs on water.
Yes. Now, these are really cool. A lot of people don't know about them, but it is a very slick system. So go ahead and run with that one there, Rich. How does this work?
Well, you connect it to your water service. So when the pump needs to pump, it'll run water through it. And it's a water-driven pump. So then it sucks the water out of the pit. So no power, no batteries. As long as the water's running to your house, it works. The downside is it uses 2 gallons of water to pump 1 gallon of water out.
Correct. Oh, absolutely. Because that's what
so
I was talking about.
It is sort of call it a waste of water, but it has the upside that it's not going to stop unless they turn your water off.
Well, that's what I was talking about as an eduction system. That's what those are called. They're called eductors. We use them on the ship because we have a pressurized fire main. So what we do is we pump that pressurized fire main through. There's three holes on an eductor. There's the large one where everything leaves.
Right.
There's the medium size where your water is being forced through into the larger pipe. And then you have the smaller pipe that you put into whatever you're trying to pump out.
Right.
So essentially what happens is that medium pipe gets forced into a larger pipe, which creates suction on that smaller one, and you're kind of forcing that own pressure going through it will actually suck that up.
And pull more.
Exactly. But like Rich was saying, it costs a lot of water to pull that water out.
Yep.
And you're right. It's usually a 2-to-1 ratio.
Yeah. So if you're on city water, it's not the end of the world. Again, this is a system that you're just worried in case the power goes out and you need something just to keep up, and it's not going to be a main pump by any means.
Exactly.
It's an emergency situation, and they work really good for that. If you had heavy water problems in your basement, I wouldn't be using it. The other thing is,
I wouldn't do it if I was on a well.
There you go.
Yeah.
And there's the biggest one. Because if you're on a well and your power goes out, guess what doesn't work?
Yeah, your well pump. Yeah. There's just too many pumps. There's so many. Why can't water just come up out of the ground? Why do we gotta?
Yeah.
So what about maybe somebody who uses like the rain barrel or anything like that? Could you have like a reservoir on the roof and using that pressure for the roof coming down, maybe to fuel that eductor? Or
I guess would you could, that be
just in case the city shuts down? I mean, you don't want to be at the mercy to the city. I mean, with the way Randall's talking about it,
most all of Europe only has like a 7 60 pound street water pressure. So most every building and even houses have reservoirs in their attics, and it's actually just to give you a little more water pressure for cooking or showering.
Yep.
And again, I've spent a while and I don't have best memory, but I think it was at a quarter pound PSI per foot rise. So, you know, that's why the old water towers used to be so tall. They'd make them that tall that you'd get 30 PSI in a street. Well, now we don't raise them up. They don't stick up like they used to. It's all tanks and pumps.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, because with enough power, you can do anything.
Right.
I mean, that's what a lot of people just figure, well, we'll just have electricity forever.
Right.
We have it now. We've had it for the last 200 years. Yep. We'll just keep it.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with it. It works good.
Exactly. Let's just bring more. Let's just rely more on that system.
All right. Coming up next is the tip of the week with Rich Calga. We'll be back right after this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on him.
This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live, MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and preview shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if somebody wanted to sign up for the newsletter, Rich, how can they do that?
You go to mightyhouse.net, click on the contacts page, and you just fill in your first and last name and your email address and click on submit.
.com.
It's actually, there was another couple of things there. But anyway, it's that simple. Just go to mightyhouse.net, go to the contact us page, you'll figure it out.
Excellent. Give us a call on the Mr. Floor helpline, 877-711-5611. You have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. There you go, Fuzzy Robbie. Got it right on the money that time.
Fuzzy Robbie.
There we go. Hey, you know something else, too, if you're just tuning in. WCGO is the official radio sponsor of the 47th annual Custer Street Fair in Evanston.
How long have they been doing that?
47 years, I think. Somewhere around, well, maybe 46. This will be the 47th.
Yeah, this is the 47th.
There you go. See,
and since they have it every 3 months, we divide that.
Oh.
It's every year. It's a yearly Father's Day every year.
Oh,
that's excellent. Great.
All of your favorite weekend shows will be broadcasting live on 1590 and Facebook Live, June 16th and 17th. Gates open at 10 a.m. with a suggested donation of $5 to get in. Over 30 food vendors will be there, along with 300 local regional artists, craftspeople, commercial vendors.
Craftspeople.
And three stages of music and entertainment, and I'm sure there's going to be at least one chiropractor in there.
Oh, absolutely.
There's got to be at least one.
Absolutely. It's like walking around in the mall and those people make you stressful. They're like, "No, I don't want to now I'm stressed out. Now I have to go in there."
Yeah.
Cuz I've been stalked by this guy.
Yeah. There you go. And for more information, you can check it out. Go to custerfair.com. Custerfair.com. Our live broadcast brought to you in part by Fast Signs of Lincolnwood, Firehouse Grill, Sketchbook Brewery, Cinemax Century 12 Movie Theater in Evanston, and First Northern Credit Union. And we're going to have that prize wheel
the
out
prize
there.
Prize wheel, yeah.
If you stop by the booth, we'll be outside. What's the brewery there? The Sketchbook Brewery?
Sketchbook,
We'll be just outside.
Just outside.
Luckily.
So.
And we'll have.
Even though you keep announcing gates open at 10 and you have a suggested donation of $5, the fact is you're going to broadcast live from there starting at 7 a.m.
Yep.
So I'd say maybe. Mm-hmm. Hit a Starbucks or something, come out and razz John and Ron and Robbie.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Come out. We're gonna already be set up. Essentially, we are kicking the whole thing off with this show because they don't, like you said, they don't open really until 10. But they said, you know what? This show has to broadcast live because, I mean, it's probably the best one.
So we got to start out right.
So that's,
we're starting off with a bang. That's what it is.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, cool. All right, it's time now. I think let's pull this other stuff up. I think we got to. It's the Your Name Here tip of the week, right, Rich? Is that what that? What are we calling this?
That is what it is for now.
It is the Your Name Here tip of the week.
Your Name Here.
With Rich Cowgill, and here we go. Are you running the recording? Recording. You ready?
Good to go.
Randall, you're good? Okay, here we go. Wait, no, it's not. Are you not going to run? Come on.
Oh.
It's there.
There's a timeout.
No, it's
on the field.
Timeout on the field. For some reason, it is not playing. Are you got the board up?
No.
Really? Let's try this again. No, it's not working.
Well, okay.
See? Okay, you ready? Saws.
Fuzzy Robbie, could you take a look at that for a second?
let me see if this one works.
Okay, Sparky.
That one
worked.
Hey,
there you go.
For whatever reason, it didn't like the saws and everything. There you go. Okay, Rich.
Go.
Your Name Here helpline or tip of the week is now. Go.
All right, so this week we're going to talk about, you know, the necessity of building permits and inspections. So, you know, do you think that the village or the city, you know, where you're working, do you think they have your back? Are the inspections on your home going to mean quality work? Or is it just a way for the city to make money? So, you know, what is it really necessary to have inspections? So, first, let's get one thing straight. Oh, look, they found it. It's boys and their toys. The city's not there to protect you, per se. Most counties, towns, and cities adopt building codes and ordinances to protect all their citizens. So when you get a permit and they come out to do the inspections, their motivation is to protect not only you, but the general public, and that could be the person, the next owner of your home.
Right.
So that's really based on, you know, what everything is. Their job's to enforce the codes that they pass, specifically relating to health and safety, such as structural or water and sewer connections, electrical installations. But don't confuse it with quality control. So, you know, they're not there to check for plumb, level, or square. That's your general contractors or your responsibility.
They don't care what the miters are like on your baseboard.
No, they don't. You know, so it doesn't mean just because you have inspections that you got a quality home. It means your home is capable of doing the best. You know, it's legally the worst house you're allowed to build.
Correct.
Is one way to look at it. But, you know, that's a whole nother thing. And I guarantee that it won't be, if you get the lowest bid, it's probably not going to be the highest quality. Typically, you're going to want to work with somebody that actually just does quality work. So that's why we always tell people to check, you know, references and things. So don't believe building permit fees like really a cash cow for the municipality either. I mean, honestly, the last permit I got from the city of Chicago was actually far less expensive than permits in some of the surrounding towns. I mean, I did a large addition. I think the permit fee was like $800.
Yeah.
Man, I thought that was ridiculously cheap. And then I've worked in small towns where it could be as $2,400, $3,000 for even a smaller job.
Do they do that to encourage more building?
I don't really know if it's because the city of Chicago's budget for the building department comes from city revenue instead of self-generated, where I think a lot of the municipalities, the building department is sort of responsible for maintaining their own payroll and office and so on, you know, their overhead. You know, so it's just based on tax base. But regardless of the permit fees, it's always nice to, you know, before you do anything, before you need inspections, it's always best to go meet with the city. You know, what do I need? What's the responsibilities of me? What's the responsibility of my general contractor? You know, general contractor should always pull the permit.
Yes.
Even, you know, if you're getting a new roof and the roofer says, well, you go pull the permit, I'll do the roof, that's a red flag.
Yes.
The reason why you have the roofer pull the permit is you need to make sure he's licensed and bonded and insured in that city, and that's your first line of defense. So do not ever pull permits for your contractor.
Yeah, all that tells you is that they don't have their license and they don't have the insurance to work in the town.
It's just some dude with a hammer.
Right.
Right.
But and if that's what you want, great. At least you know what you're getting.
Exactly.
You know?
I mean, it's... And why do you need the inspections at all? Like I said, the inspectors are there to watch out for life and safety issues. You know, and since the internet really took off, you can simply search for bad construction photos, and it's all pretty much, you know, and you can be entertained for hours. I mean, that'll answer your own question.
Right, right. That's exactly it.
And a lot of people, you can do stuff by learning on YouTube, but the problem is it depends on what area you live in. You know, if I go in there how to wire an outlet, and they're showing me how to do it in Romex, well, you can't do that in Chicago.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to tell you
where you're located.
They're not going to tell you, do you need galvanized nails and screws? What kind of wood do you need? They never go into that detail.
Right.
No.
Right.
So bottom line is, yes, if you're planning a project, make sure you go see the city, the building department, building commissioner, sit, talk with them, discuss it. I guarantee you they will be receptive and they'll appreciate it.
Yep.
Then they'll help you map out your inspections and all that. When you get your permit, everything will go much smoother.
They're there to help you and use their help.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're not the enemy.
We'll be back right after this.
Mighty House. Mighty House will return.